You are tuned to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Up next, it's the Radio Evangelism Hour, where we discuss issues of morality, Christianity, and the American way.
Views expressed by guests are not necessarily those of the broadcasting network.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to the Radio Evangelism Hour. Tonight we discuss God and Donald Trump and why it's important that we conservative Christians continue to support Donald Trump.
Our special guests this evening are Dr. Tevlin Ocean from Bob Jones University and Reverend Jackie Sackford, who runs several Christian blogs. Let's begin, Dr. Ocean.
There's a few Christians who don't support our president. They claim he is not a Christian with all those fake news stories about his behavior.
You need to ignore all that because we're here to tell you, divine intervention put Trump in the White House.
Which is why you need to continue to support our President Trump. You cannot let the mainstream media, which is doing the bidding of Satan, to undermine your belief in our president.
There's no other way. Remember the election. Everyone predicted the other person would win, but God intervened, and Trump, our Lord, won by a landslide. Like I say, divine intervention.
Certainly many Christian leaders are saying the same thing. Some are even suggesting that President Trump's victory is necessary for the second coming.
And yet you too, Dr. Ocean and Reverend Sackfart, go much further.
Yes. In fact, God has come to earth as Donald Trump.
That's right, listeners. You are hearing it here first. This amazing revelation.
It was hinted at last Christmas when the RNC released this statement.
Over two millennia ago, a new hope was born into the world, a savior who would offer the promise of salvation to all mankind. Just as the three wise men did on that night, this Christmas heralds a time to celebrate the good news of a new king.
Really? So what you are saying, just so that our listeners fully comprehend, what you are saying is that President Donald Trump is the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
No, Trump is not Jesus. Trump is the Lord himself, the Father, not the Son. He didn't want his Son to mess it up and get crucified again.
We believe sometime in the last 5 years, our great Lord looked down at the people of this world and he chose the one that was most godlike, and he now inhabits that person's body.
And that person is Donald Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump is God. And tonight we will prove it with the world premiere of this documentary.
Okay, let's roll the clip, and then we can let the listeners decide for themselves.
Both Donald Trump and our Father that art in heaven constantly contradict themselves. Just as the Bible is full of contradictions, Donald Trump says one thing one day, a different thing the next.
Donald Trump and God are both raging narcissists. Nearly half the Ten Commandments in the Bible are all about God himself. I am God, do not worship other gods, no graven images, do not take my name in vain.
Just like Donald Trump, always talking about how great he is, his big crowds, his big penis, it's all about him and how great he is.
I don't quite understand what it's saying.
God hates ugly people. In Leviticus 21:17, God tells Aaron that no one who has a defect may come near to God, no one who is blind, lame, disfigured, or deformed.
Doesn't that sound a bit like Donald Trump obsessing on beautiful women while he makes fun of handicapped people?
That's not true. God loves everyone as long as they believe in him, even people who are not white.
God loves violence. He encourages his minions to do violent acts in his name. Here's one example from the Bible, quote, "Then I heard God say to the other men,
follow him through the city and kill everyone whose forehead is not marked. Show no mercy. Have no pity. Kill them all, old and young, girls and women and little children."
And Donald Trump telling police officers it's okay to hurt your prisoners, inciting violence on protesters at his rallies, pardoning a violent scofflaw sheriff.
God says,
"Make ready to slaughter the infidel sons for the guilt of their fathers, lest they rise and possess the earth and fill the breadth of the world with tyrants."
Pretty similar to Trump saying he will take out the families of terrorists, and by take out, we can assume he does not mean he'll take them out for a beer.
And Trump, in his luxury suite high above Manhattan. Of course, if God was going to return, he'd want a home as close to heaven as possible.
Stop it! Stop this video right now! We can't air this!
Damn it, why can't you stop it? It's sacrilege!
But the most important thing to remember is the story of the Tower of Babel. These people wanted to build a tower to heaven, but they couldn't because they spoke too many different languages, too many different people.
But Trump will succeed where they fail. Trump will build the Tower of Babel. First, he builds a great wall to keep people out who don't speak the same language. He will rid the nation of infidels, and then he'll build the tower.
God is Trump. Trump is God.
He's the greatest real estate developer on earth. He can do this. He will build the Tower of Babel, and then all the chosen ones of this nation can follow him up to heaven.
God is Trump. Trump is God. God is Trump.
And that is God's plan. That is the rapture. And that is why we need to help Trump build the wall, remove all the infidels, and...
Finally, someone turned it off. Heads will roll for this. What were you people thinking?
And why didn't anyone stop it? In all my years of doing radio, I've never heard anything as terrible as...
Surely this vile attack on our God and our president didn't go out on the air.
Of course it did. But you can't air something like that. Not on... Wait a second. Where am I?
Oh my God, no. We're not on Christian radio. We're on...
The Boomer Hour!
That's right, my friends. This is the Ubu Hour, an hour of weird and wonderful radio theater.
I don't know what that is. Why are we here?
You are trapped in an Ubu Hour radio script. You have fallen into the Ubu Zone.
You can't do this to us!
No, I never consented to be on this program.
Get me out of here!
Get me out of here. Now, where's the exit?
You'll be getting a visit from our lawyers!
We'll expose this new assault on our conservative Christian values on Hannity and Limbaugh and Beck and...
And so they flee, running away from that which they do not understand, the butt of a joke.
And how about you, listener? Are you still here? Are you ready as we dive deeper? And hope you don't become another victim of...
The Ubu Hour!
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. Get ready, Portland. It's time for the Ubu Hour on KBOO, Portland.
Hello.
Trumpy Town, folks.
A salesperson steps off the train and looks around.
Oh, yeah! Trumpy Town! This town's ripe for the pickings.
The salesman walks over to a man collecting cans from the garbage.
Why, hello, good sir. Could you kindly tell me where your fine city hall chambers might be?
Why, yes, good sir. It's right there in front of you. Right there across the lawn, where our glorious leader glows orange, his gigantic pointy finger making a point.
Yes, a damn fine Trump statue. Damn fine statue.
That it is, sir. That it is.
You have a magnificent day, good sir.
Good day.
The hobo continues to collect cans. In a moment, the salesman is inside City Hall.
Hello, good sir. How may I help you?
Yes, madam. Yes, you may. I represent the Old South House of Statues, Inc., a division of Hackme Incorporated. I am inquiring to see if your fair town would be in the market for some fine Confederate statues to show your Southern pride.
Okay, let me get the mayor out here.
Whistle.
Oh yes, Mr. Leaning. I have a fine gentleman out here from Old South House of Statues Incorporated, a division of Hackme Incorporated. Name? What is your name, sir?
Sales guy. Sales guy.
Sal sales guy, sir.
Send him in.
All right, sir. You may go on in, good sir.
Thanks, young missy. Wink, wink, wink.
Why, you're welcome, good sir.
Why, hello, Mr. Sales Guy. What brings you to our fine town of Trumpy Town?
Well, Mayor Leaning, as you already know, I represent Old South House of Statues, Inc., a division of Hackme Incorporated.
Why, yes!
And I noticed your fine town is lacking in monuments to the Confederacy.
Why, yes, tell me more!
Where is your Robert E. Lee?
Why, yes, we need that one.
Where is your Stonewall Jackson?
Oh, why, yes, where is that one? We sure need that one, too.
Where is your Silent Sam?
He's silent?
Well, Mayor Leaning, can I and the good people at Old South House of Statues, Inc., a division of Hackme Incorporated, count on you, good sir, to give your fine town of Trumpy Town the Confederate monuments?
Yes, yes you can. I will have my receptionist fetch the city checkbook right now, and...
Here's the city checkbook, Mr. Leaning.
Fantastic, Miss Leventree. Fantastic. Mr. Sales Guy, Trumpy Town shall take all three. They will be a great addition to our statue of our glorious leader.
Great, Mayor Leaning. That's great. And also, while we're still here, may I interest you in one more statue at half the cost of the other statues? That shall absolutely, absolutely, I say, complete your showing of pride in your Southern heritage.
Oh, yes. What statue may that be?
The salesman removes a piece of cloth from a tiny marble statue.
Stan the Klansman. Oh, it will be much bigger than this here 6-inch replica, Mayor Leaning. Much bigger. As big as Lee, Jackson, and Trump. a glorious must-have statue, and at half the price of the others. What say you, Marilini? What say you?
Sales guy, yeah. You got a deal.
Great!
Trumpy Town will be jubilant with glee. The South shall rise again. Trumpy Town shall rise again.
Yippee!
Yes, the South has risen.
I love it.
Oh, we got trouble. Right here in Trumpy Town.
I have no idea.
Oh, we got trouble.
No,
and it's kind of funny.
This radio play, Trumpy Town, was written by Snotty the Kitten, based on an idea by Alexander George and Sean Eshelman, and was produced by Ubu Rolf. Performing in Trumpy Town were the following voices.
Martin.
Isabel.
Tom.
Rolf.
Bohemian.
Springtime for Donald and America. Rhineland, the fine land.
Once more.
It's a beautiful summer day over here on Portland's east side. Only 3 inches of rain so far this morning. We're broadcasting from a sidewalk booth set up across the street from the KBOO Studios on Southeast 8th Avenue, bringing you the Race for Incontinence, year 2017. The street has been blocked off between Burnside and Ankeny for what the race promoters have been calling a unique, low-speed, near-death experience. Now, this isn't simply your usual marathon to raise money for a worthy cause. This race pits 10 senior citizens, each equipped with a mobility device, one against the other, all vying for the world championship of whatever the hell this is. Proceeds from the event, gathered by passing a hat among the few spectators, go into a fund to battle age-related incontinence, a true scourge among our most vulnerable citizens. It's a race open to any compromised citizen over the age of 70. No sex discrimination is permitted, and no sex is permitted among the races either. Different racing styles are employed. Specifically, races may equip themselves with canes, walkers, or any other assistive devices that don't employ batteries. Hello, I'm zombie celebrity Brace Beamer. And this is radio station KBOO, the voice of a small, albeit incontrovertibly leftist slice of Northwest Oregon. With me here is commentator Hup Mobile, publisher of the periodical Flying Farts Journal, the leading publication of senior mobility racing.
Or, as aficionados of the sport like to call it, old farts racing toward their possible coronaries. How you doing, Brace? You look pretty good for a zombie.
Thanks, Hup. Nice of you to say that. Tell us a bit about the sport. Like, are there any rules?
There's a 3-volume set of them, Brace, which no one, to our knowledge, has ever read. But the regulations are much like those of any other currently popular sport like cage fighting or rollerball, neither of which are considered appropriate for participation by old people with navigational and balance problems. That's one of the beauties of old fart racing. Another is that fatalities don't mean a hell of a lot to organizers or spectators. They figure, what the hell? These people weren't going to go on much longer anyway. The primary regulation is that contestants must be covered by Medicare and have ownership of a burial plot.
like horse racing, contestants who suffer serious injuries, say broken leg or ruptured prostate, must accede to being shot in the head.
What about on-the-field infractions?
There is also a short list of infractions, which I won't go into right now. Brace, only to say a referee can stop a competition at any time to dole out penalties. If an infraction is serious, he will flash a yellow card. If an infraction is very serious, he will give a competitor a red card, which permits other contestants, as well as spectators, any AARP monitors present, and hot dog vendors to gang up on that player and kick the crap out of him. Given the age of the participants, most do not survive penalties for serious infractions. Once again, it's all part of the game.
Well, that certainly adds a note of excitement to an otherwise dull contest, doesn't it?
Not for the victims, of course, who typically react with pain and fear. But it is one of the major draws for the spectators because it takes a sport that moves at a snail's pace and injects some pizzazz into it.
Thanks, Hop. Well, I see the racers are creeping up to the starting line at that already mentioned snail's pace. On the pole position, wearing her usual racing colors of thrift shop gingham, we have Mrs. Flo Gently of Sweet Afton, Colorado. She's 84 years old and has been racing for 6 years. She was last year's winner at the Forest Lawn Invitational Futura Stakes in Southern California and has placed higher than the bottom five only once in the past 20 times. She's sponsored by Cymbalta antidepressant medication and Depends disposable adult diapers.
Yes, that explains the big D at waist level on her racing gown, just a smidge below her sagging breasts.
In second position, sporting a race walker in candy apple red with a genuine Naga hide seat and making googly eyes at Mrs. Gently is Harv Pervenal of Hoopsnake, Kentucky, sponsored by the Sinister Brothers Mortuary of Greater Hoopsnake. At the age of 90, Harv doesn't expect he'll live much longer, but hopes to make the most of whatever time he has left participating in competitive bingo and old fart racing. His bio states that he's a member of OKCupid, and if any wicked aging vixens out there would like to contact him, he'll happily respond with an autographed photo and a phone number. You can then arrange to call him any time before his 7:30 bedtime.
Making a very long, exhausting trip from Tibet to be here, and in third position, is 125-year-old by the name of, let's see if I can get the correct pronunciation for on this, Spots on Fit, and is coached by manager Hu Flung Dung, who happens to be Spot's cousin on his mother's side, who is also 125 years old.
Who is?
Yes, the guy who manages his cousin.
Who is what did you say?
From Tibet, Brace. Spots will be the only racer using trekking poles as his mobility assistance device. This is a really gutsy move, as Spots lost both his legs some years back to hyperthermia, having been buried in an avalanche on Mount Everest in 1987 and not dug out until 1989. He uses his poles much as a very old pole vaulter might. I had the good fortune to interview Spots for an article in the Flying Farts Journal a year ago. He credits his longevity to having frequent sex with Tibetan mountain goats.
Ah, maybe we should find ourselves some mountain goats.
Speak for yourself, Brace. I'm married to an elk.
Next, we've got a second woman in the race, a newcomer to the sport, Kitten on the Keys, a Native American from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Propelling herself in a standard wheelchair, she appears under the sponsorship of a Jersey Mafia Don, whom she has declined to name, though he's rumored to be somebody by the name of Paulie Walnuts. Wait a minute. She's in a heated discussion with the referee, and now the referee has waved her off the course. Apparently, she's been disqualified. She's coming this way. Miss on the keys! Miss on the keys, please! Over here! Can you come over here and tell us what happened?
That Belvase bastard kicked me out of the race. Wait until Paulie Walnuts hears about this. That referee's life won't be worth a plug nickel.
What reason did he give for ejecting you?
He said I didn't meet the age qualification.
I have to say, you don't look a day over 40.
Thanks. I'm actually 53, but I take good care of myself.
That's still too young to meet the qualifications. Yet you tried to get into the race?
The way I look at it, why should these old farts have all the fun? Why can't we, younger farts, get into the action? You know, there's got to be more to life for a 53-year-old Native American than daily sex with a wealthy Italian with nice hair.
Words to live by. Well, I hope you soon find another better way to entertain yourself, kitten.
Moving into Kitten's Lane is the odds-on favorite to win the race. From Tigard, Oregon, blind World War II veteran Vernon Beetle Bailey Seville. He's distinguished by being the only contestant wearing a military uniform, the same one-piece olive drab fatigues he wore in 1944, nicely preserved from his days peeling potatoes in the Army.
Yes, good old Beetle served in the 455th Spud Commando Brigade, a unit charged with the important job of providing combat troops with peeled potatoes throughout the war. Sadly, he never rose above the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. Because of the industrial accident with an automated potato peeler machine following the war, he now races with one cane, one wooden leg, and a skateboard.
How did he come to be blinded?
Blind from birth, Brace. On the other hand, no one knows how he ever came to be drafted into the Army. Must have been the desperation of the times.
And here comes a perennial crowd favorite from Iceland. Decked out in racing togs of glacier white to match his teeth and his eyes, Torgas daughter-in-law, the sport's only known Icelandic transsexual. Racing in the supine position, Torg uses two ice axes to drag himself along the track.
Let's see if we can get a word with him before he enters the starting gate.
There's no starting gate, Hop.
I know that, Brace. I'm just using a colorful turn of phrase. Torg, over here. Torg, how was the fight? How was the flight over from Iceland?
Terrible. Terrible. I flew one of those bargain Icelandic carriers of WOW Airlines. It was only $29.95 from Reykjavik to Portland, but they charged me $300 extra to put my ice axes in the cargo hold and $65 for my onboard lunch of cold walrus entrails and lentil juice. And I just found out the return flight is $999. What the fuck, Hop?
Sorry to hear that, Torg. I hope it doesn't affect your performance here.
The flight made 12 stops and took 18 hours. I am bone tired in every one of my bones. Hell, I'm 98 years old. I am way too old for this kind of crappy treatment. Fuck you, WOW Airlines.
Thanks, Torg. It's almost time to start the race. The referee is raising his pistol. While he's getting it up, let's quickly review the remaining entrants. Distinguished by his wide-brimmed straw sombrero circled by ball fringe.
The hat is labeled. I tunneled over here from Tijuana, and all I got to keep was this lousy hat.
Yes, that's Juan Fungal Alero, a 73-year-old tortilla maker from Boyle Heights in Los Angeles, sponsored by the L.A. County Morgue. He's pushing a purloined Ralph's supermarket shopping cart where he keeps his portable oxygen tank on the kiddie seat.
Elroy Wappington from Barnacle on Balderdash, Wales, our next racer, has no body from the waist down and bounces what he has left of his torso on a flat cart, the kind you see only in New Yorker cartoons these days, Brace.
Yes, but in this case, it's actually a converted auto garage creeper. He pushes himself along with tire irons, one in each hand.
Wappington, they say, is quite the character, sporting a monocle and top hat and trailing two lit railroad flares behind his cart. He resembles half of the guy on the Monopoly board, but with railroad flares. Now 75, Wappington lost the bottom part of his body in a freak accident more than 30 years ago when his MG sports car collided with a freak outside a traveling circus.
Here's a change, Hub. Starting next to Wappington's position would have been Count Otto von Ferkelmann from Bad Dagenheim, Austria. But the 89-year-old liverwurst baron could not make it out of the hotel room this morning, having bust a gut last night, consuming vast quantities of Portland craft beer.
Yes, something that happens more than one might hope in this town, Brace. Tourists come to Portland expecting our beer to be the same slop as the usual mass-market stuff. Barely alcoholic American swill that pretends to be real beer. Not realizing they've actually getting the real deal, they then knock back pint ever pint of the delicious local nectar, only to go into conniption fits upon being presented with the enormous tabs they've run up.
Not an inexpensive town by any means, Hup. Taking the Count's place will be his wife, Countess Dracula. Yes, as you might have suspected from the name, she's a descendant of the famous Romanian bloodsucker of yore, though she herself has been spared the curse. And at her age, I have to believe she's talking about the vampire's curse and not the monthly curse. She will be the only contestant wearing all black and using a mobility device seldom seen in this country. The rear-facing Schwatzke here, or black walker. The racer sits on the front bumper and pulls the device along with the feet.
I assume these gadgets are popular in Austria?
Only in the town of Unterkleindungen, where every man, woman, and child uses one from birth onward.
Rounding out the field are conjoined twins, both from Bickettville, Alabama, Herb and Tessie Trawler. Herb is 87 and Tessie 86. Strange fact, the two were surgically separated 20 years ago, but were rejoined when they discovered they could no longer get away with getting into the movies on one ticket. In lane 9 will be Fats Gumbo from Rock Bottom, Maine. Fats is not a nickname. She was given that name at the age of 2 months by her mother, Witchy Woman Gumbo.
Finally, in the far lane, we have some nameless old drunk.
The racers are in position now, and we're almost ready to start. But wait, there's a brief delay. Seems Mrs. Gently is facing the wrong way. The referee has now turned her around and is raising his starting pistol. Yeah. Mrs. Gently puts her fingers to his ears. Now the referee removes them and puts them to her ears. He again raises his pistol.
Apparently caught by surprise by the loud report, Spots on the Tent has dropped to the ground and Harv Pervnell is cowering behind his walker.
Three other racers have taken cover behind a tree along the route. The referee is now explaining to them the starting pistol is not loaded with live ammunition and they are now retaking their starting positions.
Let's take advantage of this break and the lack of action to tell you this broadcast is coming to you commercial-free from KBOO Radio in Portland, 90.7 on your digital readout. Remember that the KBOO Late July, Early August membership drive is coming up, so have your coin purses handy. Well, it looks like we're all set. Are you ready to rumble?
Well, actually, it's not the listeners who will be rumbling, Brace. It's those 10 old geezers out in the street, and I can hardly call what they're doing rumbling. Well, maybe in their pants, but...
Right. And we're off again. Taking an early lead is Spots, the man from Tibet, with Harv Pervnell one pace behind and already gaining. Torg Torger's daughter-in-law is having a difficult time sinking an ice axe into the paved street while Mrs. Gently seems frozen in place at the starting line. I could be mistaken in all this lack of excitement, but it sounds like she's performing bird calls. Beetle Daily Seville is screaming about something. Let's see if we can pick up what he's shouting.
I shipped my pants, dammit!
I hope the starting pistol shot didn't bring on a case of PTSD for war veteran Seville.
Yeah, memories of Army KP could bring that on, all right. He's heading for the KBOO front door, probably intending to get inside and use the unisex bathroom. I hope he can make it that far.
And that he's not suffering from spillage. The carpeting in there is already in bad enough shape. Coming up on the outside is a dark horse, or dark horses if you prefer, the Trawlers, Tessie and Herb, the conjoined twins. Oh wait, Herb has gotten his feet tangled in the wheel of their double-wide walker, and the two of them have gone down. Medics are running onto the track with a stretcher.
That could be trouble. I'm not sure they can get two of them onto one stretcher.
Officials are waving a yellow flag. Each racer must stop in place. Is it because the Trawlers have gone down? No, it's not. I see now that the burning railroad flares on Woppington's cart have set ablaze Spot on the Tent's Tibetan robes. He's becoming a human torch. Oh, the humanity.
Spectators are tossing cups of Pepsi at Spots to put out the fire. I don't think he understands. He's giving them the finger. Now blankets are being tossed over Spots and Woppington, and they're both being hustled off the track. The referee is issuing Woppington's burning cart a red card.
Order is now quickly restored, and a checkered flag signals the race is back on. Surging into the lead with an evil laugh is the Countess Dracula. But suddenly she is struck full in the face by a ray of sunshine rare in Portland.
And faster than you can say holy batshit, she is turned into a small pile of smoking ash, which is being run over by Torg, the racer from Iceland, crawling on his back and unable to witness the Countess's misfortune.
Ah, but swerving in front of Torg without bothering to signal a lane change is Fats Gumbo. Torg waves his fist, but to no avail. Fats, with her last full measure of strength, lurches across the finish line and collapses. She's dead, but the race is over. In death, Fats Gumbo wins. Perfect ending to the perfect race.
Brace, it's one for the books.
Yes, Hump. Well, that's it for the slow death race. Tune into KBOO this time next week, folks, when we bring you yet another exclusive sports presentation, The Running of the Bullshit, featuring guest appearances from Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, and Abrahma Bull. Until then, remember to keep away from your TV and listen to more radio. It's good for you.
This has been a presentation of the Blue Network's UBU Radio Theater. Brace Beamer appeared through the courtesy of...
Ken.
Kitten. Anth Keys is the nom de dramatique of...
Tom.
Tom.
The voice of Torb was almost adequately portrayed by...
M. Watson Dodge.
And I, Rolf Semprebon, am really Hup Mobile. Slow Death Race to the Cure of Incontinence was written by old fart M. Watson Dodge.
Midnight blue, and then all too soon, it's lost from view. Gazing at the stars, high up in the clouds of gray. Like the moon, they fade away. In the blue heavens I see your face smiling at me.
Don't change
that dial because
you're tuned to the
UBU Hour
Radio
Theater Show
on KBOO.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis, inviting you to stay tuned for
News on the March.
And now we bring you a recap of Donald Trump at the United Nations.
Mr. Secretary General, Mr. President, world leaders, and distinguished delegates, welcome to New York to address the people of the world. It has just been announced that we will be spending almost $700 billion on our military and defense.
America is going to war.
Our military will soon be the strongest it has ever been. We live in a time of extraordinary opportunity, solving problems with the most destructive weapons known to humanity.
America is going to war. No.
To put it simply, we meet at a time of great peril. We have it in our power, should we so choose, to ensure violence, hatred, and fear, and spread authority and authoritarian powers to every region of the planet.
America is going to war. North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba.
We have it in our power, should we so choose, to threaten other nations and their own people with the most destructive weapons known to humanity.
America is going to war!
To help shape hatred and fear for the world. strong sovereign nations. Strong sovereign nations. And strong sovereign nations. I was elected not to give power to the American people, but to take power where it belongs. Russia and those who threaten with chaos, turmoil, and terror. As President of the United States, I will always put America first. Just like you, as the leaders of your countries, will always and should always put America first. Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it, believe me.
Who wants to make a deal with Trump? You can't trust him.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has found that Iran is in compliance with the 2015 nuclear deal. So has Trump's own State Department, and yet Donald Trump wants to break that deal just so he can threaten Iran.
Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it, believe me.
So what's the incentive to make other deals with Donald Trump? Why should North Korea trust this lying sack of orange shit to not renege on any deal?
He's threatening Iran, even though the other six nations involved with the deal and Trump's own State Department all say that Iran is in compliance with the deal.
America is going to war!
As long as I hold this office, above all else, I will always put America first and tilt the world toward international criminal networks, forced dislocation and mass migration, and new forms of aggression exploit technology to menace the values, the systems, and alliances since World War II.
America is going to war. Listen to our leader brag to the world about our great military and then threaten anyone who opposes us.
Our military will soon be the strongest it has ever been.
We will stop over anyone who gets in our way.
America is going to war. Afghanistan, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico.
From the beaches of Europe to the deserts of the Middle East to the jungles of Asia. From the bloodiest war in history, this is our hope.
He's threatening Iran, even though the other six nations involved with the deal.
Now we are calling for a great reawakening of nations. We need to defeat the enemies of humanity and unlock the potential of life itself.
America is going to war. North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba.
We want harmony, conflict, and strife. We are guided by ideology. We have a policy of threats to sovereignty from the Ukraine to the South China Sea. We have a policy of chaos, turmoil, and terror.
No more protection. pretending. We've always been the bully of the world, and now with our great new president, we embrace that role fully.
America first! Let the strong rule the weak!
Evil will triumph.
The dictators of Turkey and Saudi Arabia are Trump's friends, so he won't threaten them. Vladimir Putin, who helped get Trump elected, has nothing to worry about.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able to totally destroy North Korea.
Rocket Man? Seriously? Is this man our president or some bully at a schoolyard?
Never mind that, because America is going to war!
Our great leader will destroy our enemies to protect our homeland.
We will show the world that we mean business.
We have it in our power, should we so choose, to ensure violence, torture, killing, and oppression of countless more. We have it in our power to kidnap a sweet 13-year-old Japanese girl, to enslave her. If this is not twisted enough, the United States threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life, with nuclear weapons and missiles. The United States has great strength. We will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able to totally destroy North Korea. Let's see how they do. It is time for North Korea to realize, always put America first.
We have the biggest military, and we are not afraid to use it.
America is going to war!
But we must do much more. Not only in North Korea, vowing death to sovereign nations, destruction to North Korea, destruction to the Iranian government, the vast military power of the United States, vowing death to a socialist Maduro regime in Venezuela.
We will stop over anyone who gets in our way.
America is going to war. Afghanistan, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico.
To crush the loser terrorists and stop the reemergence of military operations, not arbitrary benchmarks and timetables set up by politicians. I have also totally changed the rules of engagement in our fight against a more safe and peaceful future for all people. Militarily, the United States government masks a corrupt dictatorship behind the false guise of a democracy. It has turned a wealthy country with a rich history and culture into an economically depleted rogue state, which has brought a once thriving nation to the brink of total collapse, whose chief exports are violence, bloodshed, and chaos. The United States has great strength militarily. Nations of the world must take a greater role in promoting America first. So let this be our mission, and let this be our message to the world. We will fight together, sacrifice together, and stand together for peace.
for freedom, for justice, for family, for humanity, and for the Almighty God who made us all. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much.
So there you have it, a recap of the president in front of the United Nations.
A bragging, lying asshole who makes our whole nation seem like a bragging, lying asshole.
And yet another situation where we must point out this is not normal. This man is not fit for the White House, but enough of politics. Let's return to radio theater.
But not until America goes to war!
And then let's sing. Let's do the singing thing. Like,
America is going to war. America is going to war. War.
All right. Okay, that script's so wrong.
Wake up! Wake up! Listeners out there, wake up!
We know a bunch of you falling asleep again during this broadcast, so now it's time to
wake up!
Wake up! It's going to be all over in a few minutes. Wake up!
Wake up!
It doesn't seem right.
Wake up!
Why are you waking them up now? The show's almost over.
Why not just let them sleep?
Wake up!
Every fucking time we air the show, a third of our listeners fall asleep.
Wake up!
It's not their fault. It's late. It's almost midnight.
Well, they need to wake up. It looks bad if people are asleep at the end of the show.
Wake up!
That would look bad for our ratings. Radio's so boring, people fall asleep.
And if we wake them up before the end, maybe no one will notice.
Well, maybe. But now that you've woken them up with these loud noises and everything, you might as well tell them.
Tell them what?
Excuse me. They can listen to What They Miss. They can podcast this entire Ubu Hour by going to kboo.fm. And
they'll actually do kboo.fm.
Oh, kboo. Okay.
Yeah.
Wake up!
All right. Hyphens there, but...
They can listen to What They Miss. They can podcast this entire Ubu Hour by going to KBOO.
No, KBOO. KBOO. What is KBOO?
Oh, a little Freudian there. Okay. They can listen to What They Miss. They can podcast this entire Ubu Hour by going to KBOO.FM. And then they can hear it anytime they want.
In the middle of the day, while at work, though I wouldn't recommend that, at home at the dinner table with the family, actually I wouldn't recommend that either.
They can hear the show again at kboo.fm.
Yes, this one and earlier Ubu Hour shows. It's all there on KBOO's website.
Then it's a good thing we woke them up to tell them about that.
There's no excuse if you fell asleep during this hour.
Speaking of which, this hour is almost up. It's over. This show is almost over. We have just enough time
to say, this has been the Uber Hour.
Coming to you every first Monday at 11 p.m. as part of the K-Boo Radio Theater Hour.
The opening and closing sketches of tonight's Ubu Hour were written by Rolf and performed by...
Tom.
Isabel.
Martin.
Bohemian.
Rolf.
Pat Robertson.
Larry.
No, I wasn't in there.
He's going to leave that in, you know.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. The Ubu Hour returns Monday, November 6th.
Remember the 6th of November.
The gunpowder treason in plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir by Boom Arts, Friday, October 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall in Portland. Boom Arts is launching its sixth season with Obie Award-winning artist and activist Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. The activists who sing bring humor, music, and their unique DIY spiritual life to the daily struggle of today's earth crisis. Again, that's Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir by Boom Arts, Friday, October 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Caught, October 1st through the 29th at the Artist Repertory Theatre in Portland. Caught is an installation of visual art and live theatre inspired by playwright Lin Bo's own experience of being arrested and detained by the Chinese government. Caught explores the murky intersection of fact and fiction in the crafting of art and news. Again, that's Caught, October 1st to the 29th at the Artist Repertory Theatre, 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from True West, presenting the motet for two nights on December 30th and 31st at Revolution Hall. Tickets and information for the motet's New Year's Eve run in Portland are available now at revolutionhall.com. KBOO Portland.
You got me going again. Got me going. I'm trying.